Hello, and welcome to episode 174 of Film Night. My name's Richie.
My name's Jack.
My name's Henry.
And my name's Joe.
And in today's episode, we are talking about Florian Zeller's The Father. How's everyone doing? I think you might need to hold that closer to the mic, Jack.
Oh, is it very quiet? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very quiet.
Yeah. Great. That came across beautifully.
Did it not? Oh, that's annoying. Oh well. Anyway,
I'll put it in the outro for you, Jack.
Yeah, we got to get in there. Actually, well, I guess it depends on what actually happens.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll be editing it after the final tomorrow. We're talking about the football, in case that wasn't clear. I don't think Jack's song really came through there, but it was
I'm good about that.
It was the famous It's Coming Home song.
Yes. It certainly was. The nerves are building.
Yeah.
They are.
We're all excited. We're recording it on Saturday.
We're about 25 hours away.
Here. One day before the final. So, yeah. I think we're all...
Yeah.
I think we're all... I think the whole nation holding ourselves pretty tightly.
Yes, just a bit. Yeah.
This time tomorrow, we'll have the team news and we'll be very much in countdown mode. So, I'm excited, but I'm very nervous because it's not going to be an easy game, boys.
No, doesn't seem like it.
It's going to be tough.
But anyway.
We've got football fever. It's great. I saw the buses in Blackpool the other day. They've got It's Coming Home written all over them.
I saw a picture of that.
Yeah.
This may be the first time I've ever had football fever. I'm actually enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, you caught the bug. Yeah, I keep loads of cars with the classic flags out the doors.
Our neighbors flying a flag on their flagpole that they have for some reason.
They've got a flagpole.
Yeah, I guess just for this reason only. I don't know.
Wow.
Well, you've got to. Love to see it, don't we?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's not go overboard. I don't want to jinx anything.
Yep.
No.
Agreed. Agreed to that, Jack. But anyway.
And I'll tell you what else isn't very far away. Another film night get-together.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Can't wait. Can't
Couple
wait.
Weeks.
Listeners may remember that last year we all had a bit of a get together after the first lockdown at our good friend Henry Woodsford's house in Weston-super-Mare.
It was amazing.
We're going to Leeds, aren't we?
I think it's safe to say we all had a blind in that. And so it just seemed obvious that we should do it again this year. And this time,
Leeds is the lucky host city this time.
That's right, coming over to mine at Leeds.
And is it a double bill of Old Boy with Old?
Hopefully. I don't know.
I think it's out. I think Old does come out, though, on that Friday.
I think so, too, but I've been getting conflicting information about that, so we'll just have to wait and see what the Odeon listings are, I think.
Okay.
But yes,
well,
got our copy of Old Boy here.
There it is.
Ready to
there
watch.
There we go.
Has anyone else seen that apart from you?
I don't think so. What have you seen?
Correct.
Spike Lee remake. Which
you
is,
wish he hadn't, though.
Yeah, unfortunate.
I've not seen either, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm very much looking forward to the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah,
I think we're going to have a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we like going maskless? Sort of are we like throwing all of that out the window? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's down to personal opinion by that point, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is. Yes.
Oh right. Yeah. By that point. Yeah. Because at that point, it's going to be after the 19th, isn't it?
Yeah. It won't be a requirement, but no one's going to judge you, Pep, if you still want to wear your Liggett's Lads mask.
No, I
well, that's the problem, isn't it? Yeah, we've got these Liggett's Lads masks that need to be.
No, we've got boxes of them.
All must go.
I did have a word with Boris to see if he could extend the mask mandate by a couple of years so we could get through all the boxes that we've got.
Joking on you, they must be all nearly sold out. Surely they might have.
Yeah, Woody's got a spare room in his new gaff full to the ceiling. I think Woody's secretly hoping for a third wave. No, of course.
Absolutely not, Jack.
No. I think we're all very, very much ready to get back to normality. Yeah. And to be fair, it's felt quite normal for a little while. I mean, still, obviously, bits and pieces, but yeah.
I think feeling pretty normal. Mostly it's felt a lot more normal than it has done.
Yeah.
Pretty recently, so yeah. Cool. All right. Shall we get into this week's episodes, lads?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. This week, we're talking about The Father. Here's a clip.
Your whiskey.
Thank you.
Cheers. Oh. Do you know, I'd give everything I own for a glass of whiskey, don't you agree?
Well, I don't own all that much, so...
Oh, really? What do you do for a living?
I look after other people.
Other people?
Yeah, my job is to help people who need help.
Oh. Sounds like one of those girls you're always trying to dump off a maid here. Must be a difficult job, though, isn't it? I mean, spending all day with one of those... Ugh, I mean, I couldn't stand it. Am I right? I
did my job. What about you? What did you do for a living?
Oh, I was a dancer.
Were you?
Yes.
Dad?
What?
You were an engineer.
What do you know about it? Yes, tap dancing was my specialty.
Really?
You seem surprised.
Yeah, a little bit.
Why, don't you believe me? Or you find that difficult to imagine?
Of course, it's just I've always loved tap dancing.
You really? Wow, I'm still great at it. I'll show you. Aye! Jolly good. Why are you laughing?
Sorry.
I know, she reminds me of.
Who?
It's Lucy when she was younger.
Lucy?
Yeah, my other daughter. That's right. There's a resemblance, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Her unbearable habit of laughing inanely.
Father is directed by Florian Zeller, and it stars Anthony Hopkins, Olivia Colman, Mark Gatiss, Olivia Williams, and Imogen Poots. The synopsis is, a man refuses all assistance from his daughter as he ages. As he tries to make sense of his changing circumstances, he begins to doubt his loved ones, his own mind, and even the fabric of his reality. What did you three think of The Father?
I think it's the best film I've seen this year by an absolute country mile.
I completely agree with you.
I mean, it's an incredible, incredible piece of cinema. It was so impressive on a technical level. And it felt really innovative, different, and just an amazing portrayal of dementia. Obviously, the performances have been widely received, widely praised. Sir Anthony won his Oscar, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Did Olivia Colman was nominated, but she didn't win, is that right? She didn't actually win.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember, but I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I think she was nominated. And again, you know, it's like when we did Parasite last year, going into it, seeing all this press, all this praise for it before we go in, all this positive press, you're thinking, oh, God, is it going to be that good? Is it just Oscar bait?
Mm.
But no, it really, really blew me away. I really wasn't prepared for how emotional I was going to be, emotionally invested I was going to be in it, and how much I enjoyed it, but also found it to be sad, funny, scary, quite horrific. It's not a gory film or anything like that, but he's actually got a lot of horror elements in terms of one man and his, you know, what happens to him. I don't want to say too much at this stage, but it really had me. I was crying at the end, and I was crying in cars, just never had a reaction like that to a film. Ever.
Wow.
I've obviously cried at a film before, but just for some reason this one, it just really, really got me.
It can certainly be, I can definitely see how it would be a very personal thing for a lot of people. certainly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is something that you've personally
experienced.
Yeah, okay.
So, mm-hmm. So and I think from what I've read as well, for people that really do connect with it, the ones that have had grandparents or whoever either sadly die or pass away or just have a general demise because of dementia and stuff. That has happened to me. I'm not sure about you guys.
It has happened. My grandmother died this year actually after suffering with dementia.
Oh really? Oh, sorry to hear about that. So
so
I think, you know, from what I've read, the people that really connect with it in a way, the people that have been moved by it in that way are the ones that have had that personal experience with being a family member or close friend, whoever. So I think it was absolutely breathtaking, and really was. I don't think I'm going to see a better film this year. I don't know, we're only in July, but I don't, it's like when you come out of Parasite, you just know that you've just seen a masterpiece right in front of your eyes. It's just, I could speak. I mean, I'm glad, you know what? I'm actually glad we've waited a bit to do this review, because I don't think I could have done it straight after, because I think I'd have been, I was just so drained after it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it. I was just exhausted physically and mentally just by how all encompassing it was. It was really, really outstanding, boys, I must say.
It was.
Superb.
Yes. Yeah, sort of, it's one of those films that sort of knocks you back a bit. And you're right. If we had tried to do it, imagine if we tried to do it the way we used to, like literally straight after. I think we would have all been a bit struggling, because it's sometimes hard to find the words.
That certainly would have been interesting, though. I think.
To do that.
It would have been.
You make a good podcast.
Yeah.
Four lads crying for 2 hours.
Get the Kleenex out.
I mean, who knows? If we were to record late tomorrow night, it might be a similar sort of.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah, I'll jump in and just say I saw it yesterday, so I'm probably the soonest out of all of you guys, really.
Very fresh.
And this sort of ties in, and I'm not going to go on a massive rant, but I just think that.
Oh.
No, I can do if you want. But it's the same situation we've had for the last. Well, I've had for the last couple of times. You know.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Actual films being available to be seen. Now I get that this film was out. I mean, a poster says. I saw a poster online the other day that says "The Father" only in cinemas on the 13th of June.
Hmm.
Now, okay, it's in cinemas, other cinemas for longer, and I got to watch it. But I just think, why is this film in some cinemas only been available for one day?
I don't think that's what that means, is it? Only in cinemas, it means it's only available in cinemas from the 13th.
Oh, maybe. I read it as only in cinemas on the 13th.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, look, I mean, I don't. It won't be in cinemas next week. It won't be in the cinema I went to see it in the end next week. It was on once a day. I made my way up to Cleveland's in the end. I was going to go to another cinema. They took it off the day before I was supposed to go. So then I went up to Cleveland's and saw it. And I just think to myself, having seen it, everybody should, and I get you don't need to see this film to be affected with dementia and to experience it. And my grandma's going through it at the moment. So you don't have to have to see a film to realize, but I think everybody should see it. And I think even, you know, you can't force people to see things, and everybody has their own views and choices to do whatever they want to do. But I think there's some things that people should want to go and see it, and should see it to realize.
Well, they should at least have the opportunity to, if they want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly. Yeah, I think maybe the only reason I can think of to not encourage someone to go and see this is if they've been a bit too close to it, to the scenario, and might not be able to handle it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or if they're currently like in the middle of it.
In the middle of it, yeah. And it actually did a really good job. I loved it.
But at the same time, I'm interrupting you, Joe.
No, it's all right.
But at the same time, I think it does a really good job of kind of showing the other side to it, and maybe offering a bit of understanding of
I was just gonna say that. I think it definitely opens your eyes to what that person is feeling and what they are seeing and what they're hearing. Because we don't know. And I think and there's not been a film like this before. And I think that's why it's such a great film. We don't know what somebody's seeing and feeling when they're suffering from dementia, but it does a really, really good job of trying to explain it to you. And there's sometimes you get angry and annoyed, and with work and going to hundreds of care homes, you see it and you understand and you can deal with it, but you don't actually realize what that person is going through. And you sort of laugh it off and you understand, and somebody will come up to you five times during an hour and ask you the same thing. And you just go, you know, but if you're living with somebody all that time, it's difficult for you. But to see it from the other point of view, it was amazing. And it changes your whole perspective on dementia completely. I thought the acting was superb. Yeah, I just loved it. And I agree, Woody, best film of the year, hands down. Yeah.
Mm.
Couldn't have put it better myself, Pepster.
Yeah. I think that's right, Joe. I think that's what takes it to that next level. Is the perspective that it gave. Because yes, the performances are incredible, you know, but to actually, and it was so subtle, wasn't it? Like very small changes in the sets, like the kitchen, like the cupboards changed. It wasn't over the top or like too obvious. It was done just to the right level. And
yeah, that's the kind of genius in it, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
because and also it's playing tricks on your mind, and it makes you feel like you're suffering.
But I honestly was like second guessing myself, and especially near the beginning, like when it, you know, when it first started, like before you really grasped onto what it was doing. I was like, you know, when the characters were entering and leaving the flat, you know, same character but different actor, that was genuinely like, yeah, it was so disorientating. And I don't think I've ever felt quite like that, to be honest. It was Woody said it was literally very scary, and this film is far scarier than a lot of the horror films that we get nowadays. And I think it's one of the reasons it is so scary is because it's very, very real. And like Joe said, you know, so many people go through this. It's quite common. And you're right, Joe. You see it and you sort of learn how to deal with it. But, you know, you can never understand it from that perspective. I mean, obviously, even after watching the film, we still can't really. But it definitely gives you a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
And a bit of an insight into it. And yet, I concur completely with everything. I loved it. It definitely had a big effect on me emotionally, like Woody as well. Like it really, really sort of knocked me back for six, for a good day or two, really. Like it couldn't stop thinking about it. And yeah, Sir Anthony Hopkins is just a genius. I mean, unbelievable performance.
Yeah.
Good length as well. Yeah.
Great length. Yeah. I'm sure. I enjoyed it.
I did know. I was just going to say, the length was great, but and the fact that it was set in one place all the time, at first I thought, oh, hang on, but it didn't bother me one bit. And you're absolutely right, Jack and Richie, what you said, it starts to play tricks on you. And I was thinking to myself, this at the beginning, hang on a minute, that was different, or that was different. And you are experiencing, and I'd not thought it till you mentioned it then, you are experiencing life as somebody who has dementia. And you're actually in the cinema. Now, you can watch films and things, but you're actually second-guessing yourself and thinking, hang on a minute, was that there? And just for like 90 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, you are thinking or reliving the life of somebody with dementia.
Yeah, offers a real experience. Yeah.
Yeah, absolute genius.
I wonder how they sort of did that, because I wonder if they had some consultant or like somebody who maybe an expert on the subject. I don't know how they really went about it, but because this
is based on a play, wasn't it?
Directed by the same person, same director.
Same director, which makes a hell of a difference, I think, when...
Yeah, I mean, adapting his own story.
His own work, yeah. And quite a few times, haven't we? We've seen something, you know, most recently, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. when it was originally a play, comes to the cinema, it comes to, well, Netflix, wasn't it? But really, it comes out as a film. And we're like, I'm not sure it really translated that well from. It might have been a better play than it was a film, that kind of thing. Whereas with this,
that one definitely felt like it had the beats of a play as well, though.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it quite translated fully to to the screen.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, I mean, I bet this is an absolutely incredible play to see, first up, by the way.
I'd definitely be interested to see it, yeah. And it,
with all the sets changing. And
I would assume, yeah.
But no, I mean, it must make a hell of a difference having the same person who's done the play to do the film. It obviously makes massive difference.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I thought it was nice that it had some moments of comedy in there as well. I thought it was funny to have it in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Anthony Hopkins was a proper little village little granddad. came across so natural and really well.
Yeah, I completely agree with that point, actually. But it really needed that. And I think we all know someone. I think we all thought of somebody that we know when we saw that type of character. A very mischievous person who perhaps isn't the easiest to get along with, but you love him all the same. And it's
it also really helped.
Very opinionated.
But it also really helped with the quick changes of mood.
Yes.
Yeah.
For it. I think it was very effective in some areas in that way.
Yeah. And you almost didn't, because there were certain plot points where, like, especially at the start again, as it was sort of setting its stall out, you almost weren't sure if he was in the right or not. Like, when he was saying, "This is my flat," when he walked into that room and the bloke was sat there for the first time that we see him, and he goes, "What do you mean? Like, I live here." Like, I was still of the thought of, like, almost no, you don't. Like, I believed Anthony. Like, I thought that was his flat, and obviously we realise how serious the condition is, and then you sort of second guess everything. But definitely at the beginning, I almost was really unsure of what actually was and wasn't correct, if that makes sense.
It did such a good job of doing that as well.
Yeah, I still don't know, like, which elements of his daughter's life are actually true and which aren't.
Yeah.
Is she married?
The whole thing about going to France and stuff.
Is she in Paris or is she not?
Is she going to?
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to talk about, really, isn't it? Because it is just so confusing. But that's what it's supposed to be.
Well, I just feel it's very raw, so that I don't, you know, apart from the technical things and things we talked about, I don't know that we really need to.
It's very simple, isn't it, really? It's a very simple story. Richie's right, very raw, very real. And the best way to sort of experience it is not by listening about it or reading about it. You've got to go and see it for yourself.
Highly recommend. Highly recommend going and seeing this one to anyone. Because I was hesitant actually when going into this one, just from the look of it. Really, I just thought it was going to be a bit of a quiet drama, bit of an Oscar baity sort of like. There's another one coming out that looks very Oscar baity, starring Colin Farrell. Have you guys seen
Supernova?
Trailers
yes.
For yeah.
Yes.
That one looks like it's going to be very, very Oscar. Colin Firth, you mean? Colin Firth, yeah. Fuck me.
Yeah.
I always get those mixed up.
Yeah.
Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
But that's similar subject matter, isn't it?
It'd be interesting
to see
that.
I think...
Is it cancer?
No, I think it's dementia again.
I think it's dementia, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. I didn't realise.
Stanley Tucci, he gets it and he's kind of living through it, I think, and his memory's starting to go.
Okay, well, maybe it might be decent still. But I do get very Oscar vibes, Oscar bait vibes from that.
I tell you what didn't do this film, because I thought the same thing, Richie. I'll tell you what didn't do any favours. I think the poster is very weak. It looks like one of those films where it's going to be, people are just going to have these monologues to kind of win them an Oscar.
Yeah, that's true.
It just looks it looks kind of quite boring.
Film.
That, that's very true. The exact opposite.
That's very true. But at the same time, you know, I do think it's good for the film if you don't really expect it to go the route it's going down. So there's not really, I don't think there's really a way that they can win with that one. Is that? But that was, I definitely got that feeling about it. And so when I was thinking, okay, this is on like once a week or whatever, I don't know. Let's go and see it. I was like, ugh, am I in the mood for this? But anyway, went to see it and absolutely loved it. So,
No, I do know, agree, actually.
Go on, Jack.
I think it's kind of a difficult film to market, isn't it? Because obviously with the subject matter, you've got to be sensitive. And I agree. I think the poster and even the trailer, I think I saw the trailer, didn't jump out as a film that I would have rushed to see. Like, obviously, I mean, anything with this casting, I'm going to be interested in. But yeah, just from going off what I saw promo-wise, it didn't jump out to me, which is good. I mean, you're right. I mean, it definitely added to the whole thing of, you know, you just sit down and here we go, sort of, and then, wow, it just hits you. But I guess that's why you always need to, you know, give films a shot. Like, trailers don't mean everything.
I mean, that's the problem with all these things, isn't it? We fucking hate the trailers and the marketing.
I think that's why Woody's philosophy is a good one. Like,
we can't help but admit that it does fucking work.
When they market
the shit out of them.
Absolutely, but I think that's why Woody's got a great. You know, I imagine you're still doing what you said you were going to do, and anything that you want to see or you think you might want to see, you're just going to avoid the trailers.
Unless I'm actually sat in the cinema and there's trailers on.
But you do. But I presume sometimes you do watch trailers for things that you're unsure about. Do you?
I tend not to. No, not anymore. I'm kind of the only one trailer I watched recently was the Halloween one because I thought it was just so good.
Well, I mean,
we're not going to see that, are we?
I don't really.
Well, no, because the whole film's in the bloody trailer.
So. Yeah, that's true. It is. Yeah.
We don't need to go. Yeah, I mean, that's a bit if you want to get reviewed, just watch a trailer.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll get all you need to know off that.
Yeah, that's true. A Village trailer is worth watching.
Old trailer.
Except I don't want to watch any more old trailers. I'm ready for that one.
Oh yeah, you're so pumped for that one.
I hope it's everything I want from it.
I think Supernova is a good sort of film to bring up though, because it's a similar thing. Like, yeah, I agree. It does look very baity. But you know, I'm probably going to see it, and
I'll still probably see it as well because I don't want to. I don't really want to judge the films like that before.
No, I always try not to cast things off before seeing them. Because, I mean, obviously sometimes you are going to be right and you go and see it and it's like, oh, I knew that. Why did I bother? But then...
Yeah, we shouldn't spend money on that.
but then at the same time, if you always went by that mindset, you'd miss out on so many great films like this one. Imagine if we just... We could have easily decided to do another film and passed it off as Oscar bait and... Yeah. You know, so very I guess true. you win some, you lose some, but
you lose a lot more than you win. So.
Sadly, yes. I want to talk about a particular scene, actually. I don't know if maybe, we should probably give a bit of a spoiler warning.
Yeah, I'm ready to go into, if you want to talk spoilers, I'm ready to go into that. Okay, spoiler talk now for the father, so if you care about that, then just skip ahead. I'll put in the description when the spoilers will end, so... 3, 2, 1, skip.
Yeah, so just one of the... It just links back to the point that we were making about the editing and how the story puts you in the shoes of Anthony's character. But the one scene that sort of, in my opinion, did that best was the scene where he walks into the kitchen as Olivia Colman and her partner are having like a conversation at the dinner table. And the whole scene plays out and then returns to the start again.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was so clever how the script managed to get it back to that point. And it was, that for me was probably one of the standouts because I thought the two of them Was that Mark Gatiss or was that a different guy? No, it wasn't, was it?
Yeah, it was the other guy.
Yeah. But the two of them acted that scene really well, and really quite a tense scene, because he's being fairly aggressive towards Olivia Colman, and you can see he's got a bit of a drinking problem. And I just felt really, really sorry for Olivia Colman in that scene, because, you know, she's doing all she can to help her dad. He's not offering any sort of support. Well, he is trying to, but not in the right way. And then, yeah, the way it just almost reverses back to the start is so clever. So, yeah, I just wanted to give a mention to that scene, because I really, really enjoyed that and thought everything about it was great. The script, the way it was filmed, yeah. The performances. Yeah, so that was what I wanted to say, really.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it was a standout scene, that.
Mm.
And just the sort of behaviour and the atmosphere in the room, that it was so tense. Oh, so God. Right, you could pick it up, you know.
It's really uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, and that. You know, and you gotta feel sorry for her, but you gotta feel sorry for the Anthony as well. You know, and
oh, yeah.
And that's where, when he started going at him and the tension rose, you understand, you can see it from both perspectives and both sides. You know, if you've been living with somebody for however many years, or he's been in your life for so long, you can see it from everybody's point of view. And that's what makes it so tense. And that's what you could hear a pin drop in that scene.
Yeah.
It was, and the camera, I think the way the camera moved around and the way it panned, and yeah, no, it was great.
Mm.
True. But didn't they do one first shot from him walking into the room, but then when it came back, it was Olivia Colman and the other guy actually. Camera's already in the room with them, and it was their end of the conversation.
Yeah.
Literally went, it did it from both perspectives, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Which is what Richie was saying right at the start about the balance of the film. And just like, what a way to get that balance is very clever. Mm. Like I said, very clever. And if you watch this again, I'm sure there's so many little moments, like little sort of things, little things in the kitchen that you probably don't recognize that little hints at what it could or what it is or isn't in his head.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many little Easter eggs lying around, I'm sure, if you watched it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Imogen Poots's character, who, you know, the carer that came and sort of interviewed for the role.
Mm. Yeah.
That was another scene that had everything. It had a bit of lightheartedness scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then also again, like super uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was very strange as well.
And
it just changed in a word, didn't it? Like,
and flipped so quickly. Olivia Colman was just powerless to control. You know, she's trying to say like enough, like, and she's getting all emotional, and she can't do anything about it. Like he's off on one. He started this whole rant, and it's just It had all the emotions, that one. A bit sadness, definitely. Funny. Yeah, so...
It
also... As great as the writing is and everything, I mean, really, it all centres around the performance. I mean, I keep thinking back to that performance. Like, he's just unbelievable, isn't he? Like, he really is. He's a generational talent, and... Yeah. I mean... I can't think of anyone who could have played the role any better. I mean, just perfect casting.
I just looked on IMDb, and apparently, sorry, I can't pronounce it. Florence, what's his name? Zeller.
Florian. Florian Zeller.
Florian Zeller. So he wrote it in 2017 and sent the script to Sir Anthony. The only person he wanted it to do the role was Sir Anthony.
Oh wow!
And
wow.
He said if he wasn't going to be Sir Anthony, he was just going to do it with a French actor and just do it as a French film. That's how much he wanted.
Oh, wow.
And another really nice touch is obviously having the character actually be called Anthony, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shows you how much. I recently did that is because, well, I think one, it makes it more relatable because I think in the play, he's called Andre. So obviously, he doesn't look like much of an Andre, does he?
No.
But I think because it was written with him in mind, having him be called Anthony just makes it, don't know. Just make,
yeah. He's which just like, adds to it, doesn't it? Adds to the whole real.
He's not called Hannibal Lecter.
Makes it even more real.
You can't.
Yeah.
You empathize with him a bit more, don't you?
Yeah. It's almost like you're just seeing into Anthony Hopkins' life.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
83 years old he is, and he's the oldest ever winner of an Oscar. And
well, wow. Thoroughly deserved.
Absolutely staggering to be putting out performances like that at that age.
Yeah.
Just incredible, isn't it? Jack's absolutely spot on. He's a generational talent. He really is.
I was thinking about this the other day, driving back from it. Yesterday watching it, I thought we are losing. I don't want to sound morbid, but we are losing a generation of, extremely good actors. And that's not to say that the actors nowadays aren't great and there's not talent out there.
Look at De Niro, Christ, what's he doing?
but we are
making some bad choices.
Oh God, yeah. There's a couple like that at the minute. But, we are losing, I think. God, he's still with us, so we shouldn't be talking like that. But
oh my God. I think
time's a good time's going on. And it's so good that. No, but
I don't want to sound morbid, but I sound very, very morbid.
I don't want to sound morbid, but let's be honest, time's getting on.
Let's be honest, we've not got long left.
Time to put these guys out to pasture, I reckon.
No, but my point is, he's agreed to take on a role. I mean, he could just sit back and just enjoy his fortune and do whatever, but he's decided to take on a role that actually has a social point to it. That has it's not just any old film. He's not just going for the quick book.
It's a challenging role, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't. What my point is, I don't think actors these days would necessarily do that. And that makes sense. I think there's quite a lot of people, and I'll get to in a film I watched last night, flipping rubbish, with a very famous, quite a famous actor in it. But they're just reeling out this rubbish, and he's decided to take on a role like that. So all credit to him,
Yeah.
I might just remind you that Anthony Hopkins was in the Thor films as well.
Oh, was he? All right.
He was in Marvel.
He's allowed one or two.
And I remember. Right.
I would just say that I think there's always been performances that have ranged from a certain level to another certain level. From all sorts of different actors. I think we've still got plenty of great talent coming up these days. I mean, look how much we praise people like Adam Driver.
Our Pats.
I think he's talking about a certain vintage
Tom Holland.
Of actor.
Certain what, sorry?
A certain vintage of a bit of an elder statesman.
That's what I mean.
Actors
of a certain age range or that have, he's decided to, and I didn't realise he was in the Thor film, so maybe my point is a little bit invalid.
No, I think it's still valid.
No, but I have no idea, because that's why I said De Niro. I'm being serious. He has sold himself down the river to get millions and millions of pounds doing absolutely dreadful films, aside from The Irishman, all right, granted. Bad Grandpa, all that kind of shit.
The Irishman, but that was just his mate Scorsese.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't it?
That's only because Marty gave him the script.
Yeah,
and all the old boys were back together. But if you look at his IMDb, for the last 10 years, he's done nothing. He's just made these absolute cash grabs with Zac Efron and all these states. we're gonna look back at him when he does leave us and say, one of the best to ever do it, of course, but he's gonna have this little stain on his
absolutely.
It's like Arsene Wenger. It's just stayed on for too long, and back at the end of it, look, you should have gone 10 years ago, pal, and you would have had this amazing legacy instead of
it's definitely gonna leave a bit of a sour taste, isn't it, when we think back to his career.
I still think there's diamonds coming up all the time, and even people. Anthony Hopkins was he wasn't exactly in his 20s when he was doing Hannibal Lecter, was he?
No,
exactly. Yeah,
So
that was 30 years ago. So
right.
That was 30 years ago. He's what's that? 50, 52. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you might, defining roles like that, you're not going to get them when you're mid-20s.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe no. So, but it's an interesting point still.
Just to to change it up slightly, just speaking about the film and some of the other elements, we talked about a lot about the script and stuff, but I really enjoyed the score and the way that was used as a way to build up tension. For some real
was it Iron Audi again?
Sorry?
Was it Iron Audi again?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that dude done recently? Because I recognised his name.
Nomadland.
Is that the same guy?
Really?
Yeah, although I wasn't sure if he actually scored Nomadland or if they were just using his previous
original pieces.
Yeah, they were just because it said the music of Iron Audi. It didn't say composed by or anything like that. So I wasn't sure.
Yeah, music by it says, but then it also has piano and music by.
Maybe it was a mix of a couple of things.
Yeah, I don't know. But either way, interesting.
I thought I heard his name recently, but that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah, it is interesting how the last two films on this show have been with him. But I completely agree with that point. Yeah, what it was.
Yeah, he had a piece in This Is England, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, the piano.
Did he?
Piano piece at the end. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know about you, but I don't know who else has seen this one. I think it might just be Richie, but when I said at the top of the show about the horror elements of this film, I saw this on my own, so when I got back, well, Grace had a ticket, but she couldn't move because she'd hurt her back, bless her, so I had to go on my own. But she'd asked me how it was. I said, was it a horror film? I said, well, was it horror? I said, well, no, but it had horrific elements. And quite like Waking Fright, Richie, where it's one man and how he descends into madness, in a way. I always remember with that film.
That is a very different film, though.
Very, very different, yeah. But Martin Scorsese said it's one of the most horrific films he's ever seen, even though it's not a horror film.
Yeah.
Just seeing this person from the start to the end and seeing their downfall is a horrifying element. If you see I really was thinking that as I was watching this. And
interesting.
The other thing that popped into my head, which was really random, especially how Shutter Island was as well. I kind of had that kind of feel.
Okay.
The changing worlds, the changing perspectives, and then how it kind of goes full circle at the end.
I need to rewatch that.
You kind of made me think of After Hours as well. That's another similar sort of idea of a guy. Just kind of, it's a good film. I think it's Scorsese actually. Again, it's a good film. It's another one of a guy kind of devolving into madness when he stays up and out in the town one night. But yeah, you just kind of made me think of that in what you're describing there. I think it's a good point.
Mm.
Alrighty.
Added that to my watch list.
Oh yeah, do it. We sort of, I think we went on a bit of a tangent that wasn't very spoilery there.
Yeah, that wasn't that.
The Life and Times of Robert De Niro is not a spoiler.
Yeah.
I think that's
the demise of De Niro is not a spoiler.
Yeah, so people that didn't want to hear spoilers might have missed out on all that chat.
De Niro's demise.
You can always find the point where we started doing that and put it in the description.
You know, I can't wait until 50 years time where Adam Driver does this in the remake.
I'm looking forward to. Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's a good point Joe made actually.
But yeah, I think it's the idea of longevity, isn't it? I think, the demise of De Niro is quite like that.
Still making the right choices at a certain age as well, I think. How many times have we criticised, or you know, someone like Adam Driver, who we've praised for making the right choices and making different choices.
And our paths.
What's De Niro's advertising cars in T at the minute?
Oh, have you seen that?
Is he?
So,
oh,
yeah,
on TV. I think I have seen that.
We buy any car, is it?
No, it's actually... It's
Volkswagen,
I think it might be
isn't it?
Kia or something.
Or Kia, yeah, maybe Kia, yeah. Christ. Yeah, and he turns up in... what is it? He turns up as a yodeler, doesn't he, in one of them?
I'll tell you why it might be. I think And obviously this is alleged. I don't know what's going on, but I think he's got
some...
His third
house needs a new kitchen.
No, I think he's got some... I think he's got some issues. Like, I think he's like money wise. I think he's lost a lot of money on, because I think he have a divorce or something. I don't know.
No, I haven't kept that well up on De Niro's.
No, I've not. I'm not. I just remember reading.
I really think we talked about.
I think he's struggling.
He's not even in this film.
He'll take any publicity at this point. So. He'll love a bit of a chat on film, that.
Strange though, isn't it? It's almost like the complete opposite of like Robert Pattinson's career line. Instead of going from shitty film in order to get money, yeah, and to then make good stuff, he made good stuff and made a load of money and then just went out to shite. Strange. I think I know which way down I'd prefer.
Yeah. Well, you gotta respect actors and actresses who continually search like challenging roles and varied roles, because obviously after a certain point it's easy to get pigeonholed into certain roles and characters, and you know, full respect and admiration to anyone who doesn't want to, because it's easy to just, you know, if you're getting offers and offers and offers, obviously it's easy to accept and yeah, quid's in. But I've got a lot more respect for people who want to try new things and try new genres. I'm trying to think of an example now, but you know, it's great to see. And
like when Robert De Niro went into comedy and tried new genre there.
What comedy was that?
Meet the Parents. He's great, isn't that?
Oh, sorry, I thought you said Robert Pattinson.
And then Meet the Fockers, and then Little Fockers.
Little Fockers.
Classic little trilogy then.
That's a great example. Just wanted to give a shout out to those films.
All right, yeah, I think we better wrap this one up. Sort of emulating how the film goes, really.
sort of emulating Robert De Niro's career.
I'm losing my perspective now, I'll be honest. What film are we talking about?
We started off super strong and we've gone into bad grandpa mode. right. Favorite scenes.
Oh, okay, yeah, you take charge, Jack, of this.
Well, someone needs to get us back on
track. Fucking hell, all right then, Jesus.
Well done, Jack, well done.
I'm going to say the one that I've already mentioned, which is the dinner table.
Okay.
Probably is mine.
I'm going to go. To be fair. I agree. I think that's a great one. I'll go with the end, the last scene, I think.
That was tough to watch.
That was very tough to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. That was actually. I think it's got to be though, hasn't it? I think I'm going to have to agree with you, Joe. It was just so. Yeah, pretty amazing.
And the nurse, credit to the nurse in that scene. Yeah, she
did a great job as well.
She held her own with Anthony, and that was really
good job, nurse.
Yeah, I always do that. Right, here we go. I'll give her a shout.
sure, she'll appreciate it.
If I can tell which one she is.
I'm probably gonna have to say the ending, aren't I? I can't really disagree.
That final scene has got to get the tears flowing, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But
it did. It did, so it's got to be that then. can't really do much more, can it, Christ?
Yeah.
I walked out the cinema. I was the only one in the screen, and I was probably the only one in the cinema at the time. It was 2:30. Well, by the time I walked out, 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And I got my mask on, which was good. I just sort of like head down, and then just sort of like nodded to the cheers, thanks, mate. Yeah, and walked out.
Mine was quite a full screening, but
that's good.
It was good. Yeah,
that is good.
And wasn't sold out, but I went to the Curzon again. But instead of usually they just do one time screening, but they'd actually, to be fair to them, had it for about 2 weeks solid each day, just one time a day. Yeah, and it was a Sunday night. I thought it was going to be quiet, but it was quite busy.
Yeah.
And I heard quite a few sniffles around me and stuff. And I think it really did hit people.
That's good to hear. Hard.
Yeah, it was good.
Good to hear that it was. Mine was fairly quiet, sadly. But
yeah, mine was a bit quiet as well.
I think this was Cirque du Soleil. Is that the nurse?
That looks yes. about right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So Olivia Williams, very well
Great.
Done.
Great. Thanks, Jack. All right.
All right, ratings.
Right, I'm going to hit it with a 10.
Wow.
Yep. Ooh. I'm going to match you, Sparky.
Strong 10. Out of the game.
10 out of 10 from me.
This is...
It's got yep. to be.
Yeah.
It's
just got Do you know to what? Be. Yeah, I think I gave it a 4.5 on Letterboxd, but I'm struggling to understand why now. Because I can't fault it. So I'm going to have to agree with you.
Yeah, shit, what did I give it?
You both gave it 4.5.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe it's because I
I think maybe there was a bit of I don't know if it was just that good, was it?
Yeah.
Well, some of the other performances,
quite average performance, wasn't it? It's quite average,
I think some of the other performances. maybe it's just comparing them with him, or I don't know. But I'll keep it a bit reserved until I've watched it again. I'll go with a nine.
I quite liked all the other performances, especially Mark Gatiss and
I think
Donna Dropper.
Imogen Poots, maybe I was a bit less.
I liked her. I thought she was really good.
That's okay.
She
I'm not attacking her.
I'm just saying.
I don't know, maybe it's just a couple of moments, or maybe I'm just comparing it, or I don't know. I gave it 4.5 for some reason, so I'll stick with it for now. 9. All right, then. Let's move on. You took charge of it there, Jack, but you forgot to say that it was the end of spoilers after the favourite scene, so good job there, dickhead.
oh, damn it.
But we have finished spoiler talk for The Father now, so let's just move on to things that we've watched this week. So, yeah, if you want to go first, Woody, put you off to shoot off.
Oh, thank you. Good. Thank you, Richie. Very kind of you. Well, obviously, it's been a hell of a long time since we recorded, so I've watched a shitload. I'm not going to go through everything.
What are the highlights?
Highlights was Inside, or Bo Burnham Inside, however you
want to call
it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I've not watched this yet.
An incredible, incredible special. It really doesn't feel like a special in terms of a stand-up comedy thing that you get off Netflix. There's 10 a penny on there, isn't there? It really, really fascinating take on things. And I like Bo Burnham, and I know he obviously stopped doing stand-up quite a few years ago now because he had panic attacks on stage before he went on stage, so he just quit stand-up. I think he went on to direct Eighth Grade, but then apart from that, he went a bit quiet.
Did anyone see that film?
I have seen it.
No.
Yes. Okay.
But I only saw it after. I've only saw it after I saw Inside. Because he's on Netflix. And I've watched some of his specials before anyway. But, yeah, so I think he kind of agreed to... Well, I think he said in the special he wanted to get back into stand-up again in 2020, and then COVID happened. So he was...
Yeah,
he
was that was my favourite song, by the way. Of the special, when he does that bit,
yeah, with the deep voice.
I loved that song so much.
Yeah, is that the one near the end? Get your fucking
hands. That's it. Yeah, so yeah. Good.
All eyes on me. I quite like. Well, they're all great, aren't they? But
fuck, I want to use that in the outro now.
Welcome to the internet. Was I liked that.
Yeah, no, that was very good as well. Yeah.
White woman since the girl.
I agree.
So it's a really good mix of like Bo Burnham being himself in terms of the mix of comedy, but it's mainly songs because obviously he didn't have an audience. He's not in a theatre. He's not playing in front of a couple of thousand. He's not your typical Netflix special. And he's basically just locked in a... He's just in a room, as we all have been during COVID. He's in a room and he's just working on this special. But as he's going up down, as the more he's in the room, the more his mental state is worsening. He ends up looking like me at the end of it. His hair's all over the place. He's got a shaggy beard and, he's just descending into this... Less and less, he's just becoming less and less of a.
Yeah, you're sort of watching him make the special in real time, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And it gets very meta at times, in very kind of almost Kaufman-esque, I think it's fair to say. It reminded me in a weird way of Synecdoche, New York, and just how Philip Seymour Hoffman was just trapped in this space, yeah. And he was just...
That's quite a good... Was getting at. That's a very good comparison, actually, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and just everything around him was just going crazy. Honestly, it's about an hour and a half, I think. Yes, Pepe is set in one room, but it's really, really fascinating. Again, it's got
he transforms it, though. He transforms the room.
Really?
Yeah. Christ. I mean, and he does everything. So he's done the music, the editing, the lighting.
Mm.
Everything is done by him.
Wow.
He might have like a few producers on hooked on the other side of it. By the time, I think there's a few people mentioned in the credits, isn't there? But
yeah, but you're like watching him set up the lighting cues and stuff during his performances of the songs. Wow. And it's all very clever.
Really?
Is it quite a rough edit,
really?
No, it's very clean.
It's really polished. And I think the fact that, you know, he's obviously had some money to spend on his equipment and stuff. His voice now sounds a lot better than it does in the early days, his early specials. And look, I know obviously he's not doing it live, and he's got enough more time. He could do take after take to get the perfect sound. But I just think it makes it sound really crisp, and it just adds a bit of something to it, Richie. I don't know if you agree, but I think it.
Yeah, I do agree.
I don't know. I really like the way he polished it off. It just felt polished. Yeah, it felt really.
Yeah,
polishing that way.
It did, and it was very funny. And apart from anything else, most of the songs were bangers.
Yeah, they were, honestly. Yeah, that funny feeling I've had stuck in my head for ages.
I've had
on guitar myself.
I've actually, I've actually watched it twice already.
I want to watch it again.
I did watch it again a couple of weeks ago or whatever, and. Yeah, it stuck with me quite a lot, and some of the songs have stuck with me quite a lot. And very, very much would recommend watching that. I think you'll both enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, it's
mad. Like, I've never, I've seen him in the old film and stuff, but I've never watched his stand-up, which is crazy. He's obviously
that's sort of
really talented guy, isn't he?
That's sort of how I was as well. I'd seen this whole thing being advertised and thought it looked interesting. And I've always wanted to watch some Bo Burnham stuff because I've seen clips of him and he seemed really funny. But I've just never really watched. I've never watched any of his specials before, and I haven't seen his film that he directed. I didn't watch him on YouTube when he was a YouTuber.
I first saw a few of his videos like years ago. But he was still doing music and original songs and stuff, and
songs. That's sort of what he does.
That's his thing, isn't it?
So this was kind of the first proper thing I've seen him in, and if you don't count his small part in The Big Sick.
Big Sick.
And he was in
Promising
a Woman, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I've still
he was the best thing in that. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I didn't love that film, but he was really good.
Okay.
So yeah, this is definitely something that I'd be really keen to give a go. Actually,
I'd say just pop it on.
Yeah, just
when you've got a relaxing evening ahead of you, Jack. It's just fun.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing I really want to talk about is, and again, I know someone else has seen this because I saw it on Letterboxd, Friends: The Reunion.
Yeah. Actually, we've all watched it, haven't we?
Have we all watched it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't.
What a load of shite this was. I mean,
yeah, it was a shame, wasn't it?
Dull as dishwater. Set up nonsense. I mean, who cares? Who's getting anything out of this whatsoever? Some of the decisions to do. I understand, right? Like, a bit of backstory, how you cast them and all that, but we spent less time actually with them together than we did.
Yeah,
and it's just I don't care what the original writer thought. I'm bothered. I was expecting, and maybe this is probably my fault, I was expecting it to be like the Fresh Prince one, which was genuinely brilliant.
Yeah,
He didn't. I thought we were going to have this reunion, and we were going to talk about, watch some of the old clips and do that. But we did some really weird table readings.
That was why. That why did they think that would be funny?
I mean, who?
There was a lot of cringe. A lot of cringe.
Honestly, I couldn't watch. It was bizarre.
My favorite bit was the start when they
came back to the set.
Yeah.
I didn't mind. I don't think I hated it quite as much as Woody did. But because I do think there were some moments in there like that one, Jack, that worked.
Yeah, because it was.
I didn't mind hearing from the writers and stuff. The thing that pissed me off was hearing from
James Corden.
From James Corden.
Just say it.
And random fucking people and
he is terrible in everything.
The actual guest stars from the show, like Richard and stuff. Fleeting, weren't they? They got nothing. They got any time. To talk about their characters or anything.
Tom Selleck literally just popped his head around the window, waved, and went off.
Yeah, I was like, no, I would really like to hear something from Tom Selleck, please.
Tom Selleck,
say anything. He's like, hi, guys.
I know, yeah.
It was so awesome to see him. And then, James Corden's face is all over it, and he's so much screen time. All those characters, that's who we want to hear from.
It's not like there isn't stories and stuff to actually talk about. I would have loved maybe he didn't want to talk about it, I don't know, but I would have loved to have heard about Matthew Perry's experiences, his troubles with drug addiction.
I think he probably didn't want to quiet,
he was very quiet.
I can understand why he wouldn't have wanted to bring that into this, because this is meant to be like a positive thing.
That's the problem. I feel like they got too hung up on it being a positive thing rather than
And also that's part good. Of it. Like that is part of the story of Friends. Like whilst they were filming it, he was going through that. Like, so I would have been interested definitely. But there were moments. I agree with Richie. Like, because at least the start was genuine. Like when they first walked into the set, and
genuine might be a bit of a stretch of the word, but.
There wasn't much genuine in this whole thing.
I liked it, but I don't think they were all just spontaneously arriving on set at that moment. That was a big well moment.
Or just pretending. Oh, I've not seen you in 20 years.
Well, I think you've all been sitting in your trailers for the last 2 hours.
Separate trailers because we're not actually friends anymore.
It
was a load of rubbish, lads. I hated it. I really did.
I like seeing all the sets, like, from that. Like, I'm a bit of a nerd with behind the scenes and shit. I like all that stuff.
Yeah, I liked that.
Boys, I'm gonna have to go, lads.
All right.
All right, mate.
Was there any quick ones you just want to give shout outs to? Quick, any more?
Eighth grade is fantastic.
Okay.
Not as good as Into. I mean, obviously, you can't compare it, but a really authentic account of an eighth grader, I believe. Does a really good job. Some good things in there. Quite funny. It's only because I'd seen it. I've always wanted to see it. Just never. You know, it's been on my list forever. And I've just not got around to doing it. I'd recommend that if you're into. You want a bit of a Bo Burnham.
I've wanted to see it ever since it came out.
Yeah, it's been on my watch list for a while.
Yeah, I should have anything else? Really, I can't.
These quick shout outs. As quickly as I thought they were gonna.
I'll tell you what. Very quickly, Jack introduced me to all Jackass, and I watched every single Jackass.
Yes.
Did you not see them before?
No.
What? Oh, I thought you were just rewatching them.
No, I wasn't rewatching all of them. I'd seen little bits and clips. I'd seen Jackass 1, definitely.
To be honest,
Watch it.
And now you're proper pumped for Jackass 4, baby.
I'm ready to be honest, Jackass 4, baby.
I think I've only seen one of the films.
I've only seen the one.
You've got to be in the mood, though.
The backstory is even more interesting than the shit that they get up to.
Yeah, you
messed up all the people that are involved.
You went into quite a bit of a deep dive, didn't you?
Yeah.
there is a lot to it. There is a lot to it.
Yeah, there's a lot goes on behind the scenes.
They're surprising that these people aren't completely well-adjusted humans.
Well, they're doing Jackass 4. We're going to make another one this year.
Are they really?
They've already made it. It's coming out in like October.
I didn't realise that. Right, I might have to get on these then.
Johnny Knoxville's got a full head of grey hair.
He's 50.
He's 50 years old.
Wow.
He's still doing all this mental,
like,
crazy stuff.
Okay, well, I'm definitely going to go through all these and watch them in preparation for that.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have taken Jackass 3 off Netflix now, but 1 and 2 are on there, and 2.5 and 3.5.
You'll be able to get 3 somewhere. It's, yeah. But, yeah, I'm
even
excited.
Then, because... Even Jackass 3 was 2010, and we look old then.
Yeah.
So Christ knows what we're going to look like now.
I'll jump in then.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it, JC.
So similar to Woody, I'll sort of just pick out a few things that I want to mention. I don't think I've mentioned this because I wasn't on the Nomadland episode. I saw Minari.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very good. I'd definitely recommend it.
Still haven't found a screening for that.
I think I got lucky.
No.
I think I told you I had to travel into London for it, but I'm glad I did because obviously
it's this just goes into what Joe's gone on a rant about.
Before, oh, it's just it? A joke, it's isn't it?
I looked, went on this thing one day looking for the father. There's like one showing of that, and then there's about 15 at least showings of Fast 9.
Every half an hour there's a new screening.
What melt is still going to see those films? Seriously, apart from you, Jack.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't? Okay, I'm surprised to be honest.
No, I've not seen it, but no, I completely agree. And you know, and this film wasn't Minari up for Best Picture? Like, I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, he was up for awards.
Not that matters. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that's what gives a film credibility. But I just mean,
got to be careful there.
I just mean I had to travel into London to see it, which was fine. Like, you know, it wasn't like the biggest effort in the world. But even at the cinema I ended up going to, I think I only had one option, so I had to sort of squeeze it in at like some random time. And you know, I'm glad I did. I enjoyed it a lot. Really well made.
How was the performance of the guy from The Walking Dead?
He was great, actually.
Because I really don't like him in The Walking Dead. So,
do you know?
Now I'm seeing him on this thing, and I'm like, okay, maybe he's
maybe he's not so bad.
Yeah, that's true. But I just think he's very wooden in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, but that's true. I mean, before this. The last thing I'd seen him in was The Walking Dead, I think. He was actually in another Korean film, or I think it was Korean, that did well, called Burning. Or Burning... Yeah, Burning. And that got a lot of high praise. So he's obviously doing some good stuff, and he was really good in this, but it's more of like an ensemble film because the whole family have quite big roles. And yeah, really, really tender, very well crafted. You can tell that, you know, it's made by people who really have a lot of passion for this story, because I believe it's fairly heavily based on the director's own family, and you could really tell that, like, that really came across. I really enjoyed it. I mean, the person everyone talks about is the little lad, who, you know, the little toddler in it.
I don't.
He's called Alan Kim, and he was a bit of a breakout star. He's a bit of a scene stealer. And you can see why he was very funny in it. But yeah, definitely recommend. Obviously now it's probably left cinemas, but I think it was on Prime.
I was just about to jump in, Jack, and say if you want to watch it, Richie, it is. You can rent it on Prime, $4.49.
I would prefer to go and see it in a cinema, but yeah.
I think you've missed. I think it has left cinemas now.
Oh really?
Pretty sure, yeah. Because I saw this end of May.
I was hoping maybe it would show up on a little indie one again or something.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, it might do.
Don't know.
Or just get the DVD and then at least you've got the big screen TV. Oh, no, because you can do that on Prime anyway, can't you?
What are you talking about? Yeah.
So I was just... When I think of Prime, I think of, like, on a laptop. But obviously,
oh, right. No.
You can,
got smart TV.
Yeah, that would be fine, to be honest. Because whilst the cinematography is great, I wouldn't say it's, like... I don't think this would be one where it's massively detrimental to watch it on your own TV. Like, I'm sure it would still be great.
No, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's just about like supporting these kind of films at those kind of cinemas, isn't it? But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
I'll probably just rent it on Prime then and watch it.
Yeah. So that was that. I've got to mention Army of the Dead. I was too curious.
God, why did you fucking hell, Jack?
Well, I love zombie films and I love
How many of them do you need to see before you kind of got the idea?
But look, I was curious, and having just seen his version of Justice League, I was on a bit of a Zack Snyder roll.
So Jack,
after seeing Justice League, you were thinking, one, yeah, I need to see more Zack Snyder stuff
Jack,
now.
It's 148 minutes.
Yes, Pepster. I sat through every single one of those minutes.
Oh my god!
I just wanted to see what.
I wonder what would happen if on the weekend you guys come over, we just sit Pep down and put Lord of the Rings on.
Oh my god! I'd worry for Pep's health.
I'd be asleep.
Yeah. I was curious to see what his take on this sort of a film would be, and it was just such a. You know, because all the resources are there. Like, if he, so much money behind it, he essentially was given his own. You know, Netflix just said, "Here, make a film, however you want to make it." So that's why I kind of thought it might be crazy and fun, and I did think it had a chance of being good, to be honest.
How many films has this guy got to make for you to think that maybe he's not that good?
No, I know, but it's not DC, so I thought him away from the shackles of the.
Have you not seen any of his other films?
I don't think I have, actually. I don't know what he's done, to be fair.
Whatever.
Yeah, look, I mean, it wasn't good. So, obviously, it was one of those. But it's like what we were saying earlier. You win some, you lose some. But you do lose more than you win.
I mean, you must lose 90% of the time with the shots that you take, though.
Maybe not 90%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look. I'm always willing to try stuff, and
I mean, you know, you've got this out in the cinema, but then there was also Nobody, which surely you must have thought had a bit of a better chance of.
Yeah. I do. I would like to see that as well. But as I mentioned off air, maybe I can't remember. I've really struggled for time. So especially films in cinemas, like this was on Netflix. So just one night I stuck it on, but. Yeah, Nobody, especially after reading your review. I thought this was going to flop, but you kind of liked it, didn't you?
I guess I can quickly just say I watched that, Nobody. It wasn't anything amazing, but I thought it was like a pretty fun.
I was kind of drawn to it because you don't look at Bob Odenkirk as like an action hero.
No. It was fun. And had some enjoyable action in it. So I think it's probably down your alley, Jack. In that respect,
yeah, I'd like to see it.
But it wasn't. I wouldn't say it was really anything special. But
still, probably worth seeing. Like
had Christopher Lloyd in it, which was quite fun.
I'd love to see him again because he does very. You very scarcely see him nowadays.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in anything for a while. But I did look up stuff on Wikipedia, and it does look like he has been fairly consistent in making stuff. I guess it's just not stuff that I've seen.
Yeah, maybe smaller budget stuff. But that's all I want to say about that. It was a real letdown.
Okay.
What else? I'll probably mention one more thing. I guess me and you can talk about this as well. I don't think Joe's seen it. But should we quickly just talk about A Quiet Place Part 2 and how disappointing it was?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can't actually remember your thoughts on the first one, but I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the first one as well.
Because it was different, and
Woody didn't care for it very much.
No, Woody, yeah, that's right. Woody didn't care for it. I think we reviewed it, didn't we?
I don't think so.
Oh no, maybe we didn't. No. I remember Woody didn't like it, but I really enjoyed it, and obviously a major part of the enjoyment was being.
Oh yeah, you get 4.5 stars. Jesus,
I don't know, but I think a lot of it was. I remember seeing it, and it was a packed screening, which was ideal for that film. And also at the time, it was a very fresh idea, you know, a horror film that's all about, you know, staying silent for the duration. And it was, yeah, very enjoyable. And then we obviously inevitably, I guess, learned that there was going to be a second one, which, because I enjoyed the first one, I wasn't like super upset about it. I was kind of excited for it. But I guess deep down, we could have sort of guessed the result, especially... It solely lacked John Krasinski. I thought he was great in the first one.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how it was. I wasn't really expecting it to be great. It felt like things had pretty much been wrapped up in a way.
Yeah, I mean, what was the point for it? Yeah, especially when they start. Especially when the whole 10 minutes is just the whole first 10 minutes is essentially the start of the first film. So it did seem a bit like, why are we bothering?
That scene was only in there to get John Krasinski in so that they could have him in the trailer and get people to come and see
it. Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, they would have assumed he wasn't in it, and so probably wouldn't have come to see it.
Definitely, yeah. And it was just such a very boring, really boring.
Yeah.
Not. I remember being quite tense for quite a few scenes in the first one. This one, I wasn't into it at all. I wasn't feeling it.
Well, they pretty much run out of shit to do with it. And I think the other thing about it is that for A Quiet Place, it wasn't such a quiet place. You're fucking talking throughout the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, they were. The best element of it is, as you say, when they're out in the open, having to be super, super silent. But they were underground. Yeah, they had to sort of whisper, but it didn't feel like they were in that much jeopardy.
I felt it was quite inconsistent in that way as well. In terms of how well these things can fucking hear.
And Millicent Simmons, I think she's called, the young girl. I could not stand her. Didn't rate her at all.
I don't think I could really stand any of them. They were all very.
Yeah, even Cillian Murphy. I mean, what a great actor. But
he was probably the best thing in it.
Yeah, which you'd expect, but
yeah,
he didn't really help elevate it too much.
No. It was all just very uninspiring.
It was just paint by numbers, wasn't it?
Yeah, in terms of his character even being introduced, this was just so forced.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say. I was just disappointed, really, and just I left feeling very bored and feeling very disappointed.
Yeah, it was. There was absolutely no reason for this film to be made other than
money. And it's left, and it's sort of tarnished it now, because now when you think of A Quiet Place, I'm more likely to think of this than
the shameless money grabbing.
Yeah, than how good the first one actually was. But I think that's probably it. I have seen a couple of other things, but not really much to go off. So I'm going to try and start getting back to the cinema though. I think I will see Black Widow. Oh, and there's that new Chris Pratt action film that's just come onto Prime. Have you seen that? The Tomorrow War.
I have. And I've watched
something
it.
About it, but I bet you've watched
Ooh,
it.
Nice.
Oh, that's what you were talking about.
No, that isn't what I was talking about earlier on. Another film I've watched. Yeah.
10 minutes gone.
Yes.
Oh right. Okay. Yeah. Well, you kick off then.
Yeah. No. Thanks. No. The Tomorrow War. Yeah, I sat down and watched it. We sat down and watched it together, all three of us on Sunday, was it, or something? And looking at it, looking at the synopsis, I was a bit like, oh, is this going to be my film?
Oh, directed by Chris McKay, right? Not interested.
Wait, what else has he done?
Isn't he the guy? Oh, no, I'm mixing him up. Who's the guy that did Vice?
Oh, yeah, you're thinking of Vice. That was, I know.
That wasn't him.
This guy did the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, right. Shut me up then.
Although, yeah, it was.
Sorry. Go on.
No, it's all right. It's got J.K. Simmons in, Chris Pratt, and it was okay. It's. I think you'll enjoy it, Jack. It will. It kills a bit of time.
Anything with mindless violence in, yeah, you'll probably enjoy it, Jack.
138 minutes, Pat.
I know, and I sat through it. Can you believe it?
Did you know it was 138 minutes when you started?
No. Yeah, it wasn't really my decision to put it on. My dad was just a bit like, he's just had an operation. So he's constantly in front of the TV at the minute. So he's like, oh, let's put this on. So we just put it on. I was a bit like, right, okay. And you know what? I didn't feel it as much as I was going to. So that's something.
What a glowing report.
Yeah. It was just average, I felt. It wasn't anything spectacular.
Was the story, was the actual plot interesting? Like, or was it just like a run-of-the-mill sci-fi?
It was a little bit of a run of the mill. It was interesting. It was. It's about how aliens take over the world 30 years from now.
It was interesting. It's about how aliens take over the world.
How aliens take over the world 30 years from now. Okay, so far it's the plot of Terminator, pretty much.
Aliens
instead of
Robots. They send civilians into the future to fight the war and this, that, and the other. It's got a couple of twists and turns in it. It's nothing spectacular.
Sort of Terminator-esque, it feels.
Yeah. It was all right. Nothing to shout home about. But yeah, no, I think Jack especially, you might enjoy it.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Jack, I've made a lot of high recommendations of things on this show.
And this is what I'm
that you take, that you have not watched. And then Joe says, this shitty sci-fi film was watchable. And you're like, all right, I'll get on that.
It's just how my stupid little brain works.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you should watch. You watch it, Jackie.
You watch it.
You enjoy it. And then what else have I seen?
What was the thing you wanted to? Yeah, come on. We get into this. Yeah.
10 minutes gone. 10 minutes gone. Right. For some reason, I messed up the letterbox and I've logged it twice. And I have never
even heard of this film.
10 minutes gone.
Yeah, it's a 2019 film. It has got Bruce Willis in.
Right? Oh God!
Yeah.
He's another one that we might
that
be prob- able to...
That probably should have been a warning sign for you, Joe. Actually.
Well, yes, no, but the thing is, right? And again, this wasn't really my choice. It was another group choice last night.
1.6 average rating.
Yeah, it's. I'm not kidding you, boys. The acting in it is shocking. Absolutely. Bruce Willis is, I mean, we can debate whether Bruce Willis is a good actor or not anyway, but this is probably by far his worst film he's ever been in.
He's obviously just phoning it in, isn't he?
Yeah, at this point he is. He is in one location pretty much for the whole film. So I said, God, he's got an easy book, hasn't he? You know, like 1 week's filming, they get him in for 1 week.
That? I bet it was like a day.
Yeah. He does a couple of scenes in one location. All of the across the board, the acting was shockingly bad. It's just a really weird, really weird and bad film. I actually logged it halfway through watching it and I gave it 1.5 stars.
I do not approve of that, Joe.
Well, I got to the point where I thought this has got no. You were so
confident in your rating this point, you thought, I have to make a statement here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do this, even though I'm going to finish watching this film, I have to make a statement and log this as a 1 star halfway through it.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I logged it as 1.5. But
I don't approve, but I can't say I don't respect it.
Look, I would never stop a film halfway through. I would watch it. But I knew at that point I gave it 1.5 last night, but actually on reflection, it's about 1. So I've re-logged it as 1, but I need to get rid of the original 1.5.
Oh, you can edit logs. You don't have to do a new one to change.
I need to go and do that now. It was shockingly bad.
I'm just looking at the poster is hilarious.
Yeah, I'm wondering what possessed whoever it was that made this decision, Joe.
Could you get any more like just
generic
action? Look at the police car that they've shoved in there, like just at the side.
Yeah.
Look, you know what it's like when you're watching films as a family.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
has different choices. So, like me and my dad do like hard thrillers, but my mum isn't so keen. So I thought this. Well, we were going through a couple of options, and we sort of settled on this. You know, we weren't expecting it to be amazing, but I wasn't expecting it to be that bad.
Next time you're in this situation, Joe, I'm going to need you to get yourself a version of Memento and have that ready for this scenario.
For this situation.
That is one that you and your parents will both enjoy a lot. It is a mystery crime sort of jobby.
Okay, right. I'm going to log that.
Very good. You're going to log it.
Thank you.
You haven't seen it.
He means add it to watch.
But that's what I mean. Watch list it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He logs it 5 stars. He doesn't need to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and other than that, boys, I've watched a couple of little things, but no, that's mainly it, really.
Well, yeah. What do I actually want to mention here? It was Woody mentioned the Bo Burnham thing, and Jack, you mentioned some things that I've watched already. So I've started watching series 5 of Rick and Morty. That's made its way on. And I've really enjoyed it so far, for the most part. I think the first two episodes that came up felt very much like they've gone back to classic Rick and Morty adventures. And I was just glad to be back and enjoying that. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. The third one I liked a little bit less, but still didn't hate it or anything.
Still going strong.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's been really good. Because there were definitely a few in the fourth series I was a bit unsure of, and they seemed to be a little bit out there. But it's felt very much like they've come home.
Oh, what a brilliant way to say
it. Yeah.
I was going to say as well, it's mad actually that, unless you have and you've just not mentioned it, but it's crazy how none of us have even started to attempt Master of None, the new season. It kind of says a lot, doesn't it?
You know what? I kind of forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, but that says so much. Like, we love that show, and none of us have given it a go. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that there isn't just a couple of reasons about that, yeah. I mean, firstly, it's been quite a while now since the second series came out. And secondly, it looks like it's going in quite a different direction than...
Is it focusing less on his character?
Yeah, it's not. It's focusing on the relationship between his, like, lesbian friend, who was never really my favourite character in the first place.
I think I know who you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that.
So it feels like it's going to be quite different from what I've seen. I still had every intention of watching it. I just couldn't really get myself up to actually do it.
I'm the same, really. I'm, you know, I do want to, like, in a way, but at the same time, it's like, I almost kind of wish they hadn't done a third one now. Even though at the end of the second one, I think we were sort of saying, weren't we sort of saying that's a great place to end? I think we were.
I don't know. I think we were up for more, weren't we? I think we were up for more, but we saw a thing where Aziz Ansari said that he didn't really intend to do any more at the moment unless something radically changed in his life or whatever. And I think we respected that. Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm concerned that the decisions behind this series may have been motivated by his controversy.
Yeah, quite possibly.
I don't know whether that is true or not, but I don't know. It feels a little coincidental that's happened, and now the series is suddenly not even focused on his character.
Yeah, that's so true.
If that's the motivation behind the decisions, then I can't say that excites me for anything, to be honest.
No, yeah, I agree. And have you seen the film? I think they've finished filming the third season of Afterlife.
Which doesn't surprise me. That show was never good to begin with, I don't think.
Was it Woody that did like it?
I think Woody liked the first series. And I thought the first series was okay.
Mm.
I don't think Woody was into the second series much.
No,
I hated the second series. I just think it's a piece of shit, to be honest. I just don't think it's very... I don't think it's very funny. I think it's very mawkish.
Strong word.
Yeah, it's just a bit too manipulative in the way it tries to force you to feel sad in it, which is something that I felt that has been pretty consistent with Ricky Gervais's stuff ever since Derek.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which I didn't like either, so...
Okay.
I think it wasn't into that. Well, I have remembered another series that I watched that I absolutely binged through. Caned, if you will. Harry Caned, that show.
Right.
What was it?
A show called Invincible.
Is this the one on Prime? The animated thing?
Yeah.
I wanted to try this. The trailer for this looks great.
Watch it, seriously. It was fucking great.
Oh, nice. Wow. Nice, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I got through it in like a week. There's not many episodes. I think it's like, I don't know, not very many episodes. There's only one series so far. I'm looking forward to more of it, though. Yeah, it's an animated superhero show based on a comic, but it's not.
Is it Marvel?
It's not Marvel or DC. It's
Oh, nice.
It's its own thing.
Are they sort of Rick and Morty-like?
Is it Rick and Morty-like? No, not really.
No, in terms of the length of the episodes.
I can't remember now. They might be 45 minutes. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they are. I'm just looking. Yeah, 40, 45, 44.
But honestly, they're so good. And the story's good. And actually, the main guy in it is that guy from Walking Dead and Minari that I didn't like in Walking Dead. Oh. I forgot that he's in this as well. And he's pretty good. There's an absolutely stellar cast behind the voices on it. J.K. Simmons is in it as well, and he does a great job as well. He's basically perfectly cast for the role he's playing. The character that he's playing looks like him, Well, it looks kind of like him as J. Jonah.
Oh, that's amazing.
I would seriously get on this one, boys.
Oh, this is great to hear, actually.
It's a superhero thing, and it's so creative in the action it has. It's very gruesome, and it's also just very compelling, the story. And you're always wanting to put the next one to find out what's happening, because just the through storyline, the main storyline, is just... You just want to know what's going on. It's got a very gripping mystery, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. But
This is interesting.
Definitely give that a go. I'm trying to find something to.
That's really good to hear. Because
I think when you start the first episode, I was thinking, yeah, this is pretty enjoyable. And then, but then by the end of that episode, I think you'll likely be hooked by it.
Well, that's really good. That's interesting, yeah. Because I've seen it on there, and I did watch the trailer because we tweeted it out from our Twitter account a while ago.
Yeah, and I saw it getting a lot of attention on Twitter and people saying how good it was. So I was like, all right, I got to check this shit out then.
Must be so nice as well not to have anything that's linked to Marvel or DC.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, they're just their own characters.
No baggage. And,
yeah, there's a lot of creative little stuff going on in there. And,
well, that's cool.
It was a very refreshing watch, to be honest.
I feel like I want to watch more stuff like that, you know, more like a bit more animation as well. Like,
yeah, I really enjoyed the animation style as well. It was like watching the old X-Men TV series, animated X-Men. So I don't know if ever you guys watched that back in the day.
No, I didn't. I know what you mean. I've seen different.
Seen clips of it.
Or the old Spider-Man cartoon or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's great to hear. There's a new I don't know if this will be any good, but there's a new, I don't know if it's on Netflix yet or if it's coming on imminently, but I think it might be. It's like an adult animation called America the Motion Picture.
Okay. And I've not heard of this.
And it's like a historically inaccurate account of basically the founding of America. And it's an animation and it's a comedy. And yeah, I mean, I've not seen it, but because it's like aimed at adults, I imagine it's like fairly gruesome as well. And I think it's got a pretty
That's interesting. Although I will say that there are quite a few of these like adult comedy cartoons at the moment.
Yeah,
that I am not really into. Things like have you seen Big Mouth?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
It does feel like there's a bit of a trend for them.
Bit of a Family Guy trend going on there.
I think Channing Tatum voices George Washington in this one.
Okay, that's interesting.
So it's maybe worth a go. I don't know if it's episodes though, whether it is a film. I think it's a film.
Okay.
But yeah, that's another one but it's great to hear actually about Invincible, because I'd actually forgotten about that until you've just mentioned it. So
I really loved it and can't wait for more.
So. Oh yeah, it sounds like if it's done really well, there's definitely going to be more.
I think there probably will be, yeah.
Oh great, that's good.
Yeah, I think there was another TV show, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. So I may just have to leave it there. Letters.
Okay. All right, well, I think we've done pretty well.
Yeah, we've...
First one back for a while, straight back into groove.
Packed quite a bit in there. Mm.
And
yeah, we did. Yeah. Great film.
Oh, I watched Superstore.
What was that?
Oh, did you?
Superstore is like a... it's a sitcom about a fucking shop. Have you ever seen...
That's the best sell ever.
Well, have you ever seen Trolleyed?
Yes, oh, yeah. I've seen I've seen clips of Superstore.
I didn't really like Trolleyed either, to be honest. I kind of gave up on that one halfway through.
But it's that kind of thing.
Similar. It's a sitcom about people in a big sort of shop like that.
Wait, is this so
similar sort of idea?
Is it new or has this been out a while?
What?
Has this been running for quite a few seasons?
Out a while. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen the odd episode. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was all right. It's an all right one to have on in the background. It's very much sort of trying to emulate The Office, the US Office. I think the guy that made it was a writer on The Office. So there's like a character in it where you're just like, okay, I'm just looking at a female Dwight here.
okay, yeah.
But it's still kind of enjoyable and fairly funny. So. If you want something to have on that's pretty easy, then I'd say that's definitely an easy watch.
Okay. I'll probably go to Invincible first.
I would do that, yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. Well,
yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, this is great. We'll have. We'll not leave it as long till the next time, I hope.
No, well, I hope not. No. Well, at the very least, we're going to be doing one at the end of the month, aren't we? Or a couple.
Yeah. I'll check about. I'm pretty sure another round is out soon, or if not now.
I'm sorry. I have got one more.
Oh, go on.
Sorry about this, listeners.
That's all right.
I've got there was a BBC show, you'd be maybe surprised to know.
You never watched that.
That I watched, called Time.
Oh, I'd be interested to hear this.
Oh, I've watched the first episode of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
With Sean and Stephen.
Sean and Stephen. Probably the main two reasons that I watched the show. But it just looked interesting. And the fucking thing's three episodes long, so it doesn't exactly take too much time out of your...
Yeah, I liked the first one.
It was good. I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, great, great little story there. Just enough to give you a little bit of taste there on your tonsils. And
I love stuff that there's quite a few stuff like that, isn't there? ITV do a lot, and where it's literally just three or four episodes. And like,
yeah, I don't know.
I quite like the idea of a story that starts and ends in the space of three episodes. It's kind of cool. Episodes.
Yeah, I think it probably makes for quite a good system, because you don't have to worry about stretching shit out all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you're more inclined to start it because you know that it's not a massive commitment.
Yeah. Well, I won't say too much about it then. If Jack, you've seen the first one. I mean, were you planning on watching the rest?
Yeah. The first one definitely grabbed me.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what where the story goes, actually.
Yeah. It's sort of just basically about life in a British prison for old shorty boy when he gets in there, and I think he does a very good performance, as does Stephen Graham.
I really enjoyed seeing Sean in this kind of role. I mean, I don't know if it changes in the next episodes, but in episode one he's obviously very introvert, very shy,
very beaten down.
He's very beaten down, and you don't often see him play a character like that where he's very vulnerable. Usually he's this big, you know, like huge personality who sort of dominates. But in this, he was definitely,
His character doesn't change very much, but I'd say there are subtle nuances about the passage of time. you do see a bit of a change that sort of makes sense with how long he's been in there. But yeah, it was a very good performance, and I like prison stuff, to be honest. I find it quite interesting, so that kind of grabbed me anyway, and I thought it was interesting to see a British prison, to be honest. Because you know, I've seen loads of stuff in American prisons, but I don't think I've really seen much where it's been one in England, in fucking Liverpool or whatever.
That's true, actually.
I thought that was very interesting, and I like watching these things and thinking to myself, yep, I would not survive in there. if I got done, so I'm gonna have to be a good boy, or if I get done for something, I'll probably have to kill myself, because I would not survive in that place.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of eye-opening. Like, it's very, very, I mean, I imagine it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, you don't know, do you? What level of dramatization is going on? But
yeah, but it's very sort of dog eat dog, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
So
I'd be interested. I'm going to watch that because it's something that I've wanted to watch for a while, and I've just for some reason just not got around to it, or I've just forgotten about it.
There was hardly any promo for it.
No, because I think it came just after Line of Duty finished, or a couple of weeks after.
Yeah.
So I think Woody might like it as well, actually. I'd be surprised.
Sure.
I'm sure he would.
I'm sure
he may have seen it, actually.
Yeah, I'd have thought he would have done. He tends to stay very close to Stephen Graham's career.
Mm.
Yeah, it's definitely something he would watch, I'm sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I'm going to carry on with that. Yeah, definitely. I've got so much stuff.
Yeah. but yeah, that's definitely it. I'm glad I remembered what it was. It's been so long since we've done this. Shit.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Right, let's absolutely wrap it up there. If that's everything, then I'll just say that you can email us at film90@yahoo.co.uk if you want. Please follow us on Twitter at filmnight_ and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or any other podcatcher that you found us on.
We're on them all.
Other than that, unless anybody's got anything else they'd like to say, then I guess I'll say it's goodbye from me and it's coming home.
Oh. It's goodbye from me and it is coming home.
It's goodbye from me and it's coming home.
It's goodbye from me and it has come home.
It's coming home. It's coming. Football's coming.
Italy, who are the champions of Europe. Penalties prove to be the dagger in English hearts once more.